Alright, time for another draftphysics.com. DebatePhysicsAlso.com. Without the also, of course. Anyway, so we'll play some more of this science and math guy. Jason. Yeah, Jason. So, 1/2 mv squared. It doesn't have a good history. It didn't solve any problems. It wasn't a revolutionarily brilliant idea. It wasn't any of that stuff. It just creeped its way into physics for whatever reason. I don't know. You know, it's a bad history. I mean, you say, why did people accept religion? You know, you say it's a bad theory. But they did. And they accepted this piece of crap. For reasons unknown. I mean, I can't exactly figure out why people would find it at all appealing compared to the simplicity of momentum and the reliability of momentum. I mean, they overtly say momentum has to be conserved. Well, you can't conserve both kinetic energy and momentum. So what does that mean? Because frankly, in a lot of circumstances, the two answers aren't the same, and there can't be two definitions of energy. And so it just doesn't make any sense. No. So, but whatever. Let's just play the frickin' video.
About work, when things move. We have talked about potential energy, when things are higher or lower down to basically to a force that's pulled.
So yeah, there is no potential energy. I mean, it just, you know, frankly, it's all active energy, and you either release it, it's stored somewhere, it's doing something, and you let it go, or you're in a circumstance where you have the advantage of just sticking your water wheel into the stream. Okay, the active kinetic energy of the stream, and steal it, frankly. And that's all there is. You steal energy, and, you know, so there's no, it's not a different kind of energy. So in gravity, you go higher. Why does it make a difference? Because it just has to do with the height between you and the ground, which is going to take your energy. So that's all that matters, is how high you are. Because how high you are decides how long you can collect force without the Earth taking it. So if you just thought of it as an electrical thing, like the Earth was ground, and as soon as you hit the ground, you're going to lose your energy, then you're just collecting it while you're not connected to a ground in gravity. Just the time you fall. So, you know, so 4 times the height, twice the time. And that's the key thing that physics missed. And I don't know if the old physics missed it, but the new modern physicists clearly are missing it. It's about how long you're in the stream will decide how much energy you take from the stream. All right.
Pulling on it, because don't forget that acting on this box is some force due to gravity, call it F sub G, and then on this box is also some force due to gravity, right?
Yes. Yeah, and you don't think it's a force. You don't think it's a real thing. You think it's some imaginary bent geodesic-y thingy that somehow compels stuff to move towards the other stuff, but there's absolutely zero substance to your mechanism, which, again, just seems so unintuitive and unreasonable. Because you know something as simple as a photon contains momentum. It pushes things.
As it moves down, it goes to a lower energy state. So now we need to talk about...
So he really obsessed about energy states because he was talking about atoms. So maybe we'll go back eventually and do some of that. But I just want, for the purpose of just getting it done with, is his definition of kinetic energy.
The third important thing here that we can then tie everything together, and we call it the kinetic energy.
Yeah, ready?
Right, kinetic energy. Okay. Kinetic energy is the energy of motion.
Does it even mean anything? Everything in the universe that you pay attention to is moving. I mean, there's almost like no way to find this thing that isn't moving in the universe. There might be such a thing, but it's not easy to find. So clearly it looks like a bunch of moving stuff. Everything has some heat, and we already know that heat means you're doing this, you're moving. So why play a game, you know? Yeah, we know that part. So how is momentum not movement?
Say the energy of motion. So whereas...
So the energy of motion is just, again, it's just, why isn't momentum defined as the energy of motion? That's what momentum is. You only have it when you're moving. You can't have momentum if you're not moving.
When the rubber band was stretched, there was potential to do something.
So again, this potential argument when, no, there's a bunch of stresses and there's a bunch of electrical and magnetic... it's either electric or magnetic. It just depends on how you look at things. So I would argue it's magnetic, but whatever. Tension you're creating inside. So there's a bunch of atoms that are getting a bit hysterical.
Right, but if
the rubber band gets hot. It's a fact.
If I, like, take a marble and put it in here and, like, shoot it across the room, the potential that was stored in the rubber band is then converted to motion. Kinetic energy is...
So it clearly was motion you put in. There's a bunch of stresses. There's activity inside the rubber band in the sense that the atoms are being disrupted in terms of their arrangement to each other. And so there's all kinds of forces that are pushing on them, and those forces are in... it's a new state of equilibrium, you could state, but it's clearly only an equilibrium created by a bunch of action that must be taking place. So you could argue about eddy currents, and you could say that every time you do something like that, you're actually creating little eddy currents, little bits of electricity in the substance, circular electricity.
It's the energy when things are moving, potential energy is the potential potential to do work or to translate to energy.
So again, work doesn't mean anything because he's saying he is not doing any work. So he's extended the rubber band, so he's not moving anymore. Therefore, he's not doing any work. So, I mean, obviously physics is pretty silly to argue that he's not doing any work holding, forcing the pressure. He's obviously applying a constant pressure to keep the rubber band in that state. So it would be silly to say he's not doing any work because he is. And so if he uses, you know, some kind of steel structure to expand the rubber band, well, the rubber band is still applying pressure and the steel has to apply pressure back. It's under tension. So you could understand that there probably is some sort of activity inside the steel to keep maintaining that unequal pressure, a pressure that, you know, eventually could break the steel. If I make the rubber band strong enough, I can, you know, and make the steel thin enough, I can, the rubber band can collapse the steel because it's applying a real pressure to it, and it has to communicate that pressure. That is, has to push the stuff, what's happening on one side has to, you know, compensate for what's happening on the other side.
And things are not moving. There's nothing moving here, but there's the potential to move. Once things start flying, then you have kinetic energy. That's the energy.
Yeah, well, whatever. Like I said, it's all kinetic energy. It's all movement of, it's in, you're just saying what's moving, the little shit or the big shit. But something's moving.
The motion, right? And so the kinetic energy is 1/2 times the mass times the velocity of the object squared.
Right, so momentum is much simpler, and it's basically answers all the questions. So it doesn't fail, and you have to conserve it by your own accepted laws. And yet you're going to say this thing is the truth. This Frankenstein is the real human being.
So the kinetic energy depends on the mass of the object, but it also depends on how fast the object is going. The units here, the velocity is in meters per second. The mass is in...
So he said meters per second. He didn't say meters per second squared, which is kind of funny, but he's always putting the squared on it. So now why is it meters per second when it's always meters per second squared? Oh, that's because the velocity is squared in the equation, I guess. It's already squared, so he doesn't have to put the square in.
kilograms, the same units as before. And when you take a mass times velocity times velocity times 1/2, then...
Yes, mass times velocity times velocity. So did you catch that part? Yeah, why would I do that? Why would I multiply it times the velocity twice? It just doesn't make any sense.
You get a unit here. What do you think? It's joules.
It used to be foot-pounds. So before they called it joules, they just called it foot-pounds, which is kind of funny because it's a weight. Yeah, a pressure. So, yeah. I didn't write this bad script. I mean, this is their physics. I mean, it's, pretty bad.
So again, J, same exact unit as before. And that is because if I take this rubber band, right, and I have, let's say, 10 joules of kinetic energy, nothing is moving, but this is the...
10 joules of potential energy that isn't going to be continuous. It's going to be an instantaneous amount of pressure, foot-pounds of pressure, and that's it. That's all you're going to get out of it. So you can hold it as long as you like, but you're not putting any extra energy in. You're just maintaining a state. All right, and you have to keep putting energy in for that state to be maintained.
Potential. If I could convert all of this potential energy into the energy of motion, and I fling it across the room, and I could look at its speed immediately when it left my finger, and I took its speed and multiplied V times V, speed squared, times the mass of that thing, times 1/2, I would get 10 joules.
You'd get the wrong answer. I'm sorry. No, you're not going to get the right answer because all I do is change the weight of the rubber band a little bit and all of a sudden the amount of energy changes. I do some tiny little change to either the mass or the velocity and you don't get the right answer. You get erroneously different answers.
...of kinetic energy because all of the potential energy that was in that tension and the pulling that was there, it would be converted into the energy of motion.
So it wouldn't be consistently. So the whole point is if I just tie a weight to the rubber band and I tie a light weight, I'll get more energy out of the rubber band than if I tie a heavy weight. Simple. And you won't have any explanation for why it should make any difference. Oh, the heavy object made it lose energy. It magically lost the energy somewhere.
That's what we say, we have a law of conservation of energy.
So again, the law started with a conservation of momentum. It's not that's the thing you have to conserve, is the idea that there's a certain number that you get from mass and velocity, and when everything's said and done, when you finish doing whatever you're doing, you still should be able to find the same amount of mass and the same amount of velocity in the universe.
Energy is really not created or destroyed, it's just changed from one form to another.
So it doesn't change from one form to another, it moves from one object to another. It goes from one place to another. That's all. You either move the object, that requires you to use energy if it's a material object, or the energy itself is always moving to a new location. But that's all that's taking place.
Whenever I have this box up here, there's a high amount of potential energy. But when I let it go, the potential energy is converted to kinetic energy.
So it's really, there's no conversion of any kind of energy, okay? There's collection. The mass starts to collect energy because it free falls in the gravity, and now it can collect the gravity because there's nothing attached to it pulling the energy out. So when there's nothing attached to it to pull the energy out, it collects energy, and it'll collect it for how long you let it sit to free fall in the gravity, to be unconnected to some other object that will dampen or steal its collection of the energy.
Energy because it is moving at a high rate of speed when it hits the ground.
Right, and it's moving at a high rate of speed because it was able to collect more and more and more energy because it didn't hit anything that was stealing its energy.
So the best way to really demonstrate this or talk about it is to talk about a roller coaster. So here's a roller coaster.
All right, so this is a terrible example because now he just turns this into a conversation about potential energy and active energy, if you want to call it that. And, you know, just defeats the whole, why this? Why this slop? So I don't even know if this is worth playing. Maybe we'll go to the other video. I'll just show you. I mean, this is just this obvious argument that I'm collecting gravitational potential energy. No, I'm going to a location where I can now fall freely, okay, semi-freely. Obviously, some of the energy is being stolen by the track. The track is connected to the cart, and the cart will lose its energy to the track, so it's guaranteed not to be able to conserve all of its energy. It won't go back high as high because it's going to lose, okay, energy to air resistance and friction with the track.
Sure. Something like this. So what you do is you start out on the roller coaster and you get to the very high, you know, end over here. And let's say you're in, let me switch colors. Let's say you're at this position. We're going to talk about what happens when you're at this position on the roller coaster. And then we're going to talk.
Yeah. And so all you are is, you're not gaining any energy from gravity because you're stuck on the surface of the earth still. You're connected to it. And all you're going to do is become a lot less connected, okay, as the track bends in the direction of the potential motion, you're going to start free falling. Yeah, it's not going to be a perfect free fall, but you're going to be free falling. Some percentage of the time you're falling is going to be free of the track, so to speak. The track will be less capable of absorbing your energy. So if you could just say that it could be just wattage, you're just saying you're at 500 watts of potential, okay, but you're only going to get 400 out because you're going to lose to the track.
Talk about what happens when you're on this position on the roller coaster, and then we're going to talk about what happens when you're on this position way at the very end of the roller coaster. Of course, the roller coaster is, you know, moving this direction. It's going like this, right? So what's going to happen here at this position? What do we have?
So, I mean, he could, if he extended the drawing, he could say, well, how high can you get back up here? So you'll have your peak velocity here at the bottom, but your peak velocity is going to be lower, okay, than the velocity required to restore you to this height. And all the losses are going to be calculatable into the losses to the friction and the air resistance.
Well, the ground is right here. So how high are we off the ground? We're the maximum height off the ground. This is going to tell us how high total of an energy state we're in. We have.
It'll tell you what you could get if you free fall from that height. It'll tell you how much time you would have to be in the gravity to collect energy. And that's what it tells you. So it's not at all complicated.
The potential energy is in the highest position. Why? Because potential energy is m times g times h, mass times the gravity times the height off the ground. So in this position.
So it's your mass that's collecting it, which means your atomic little bits are doing the collecting as you fall. So the more little bits you have, the more little bits of energy you collect. Therefore, when you hit the ground, there's more of them to be released. It's very simple. It's just saying you can only collect the force with a bit of matter. If you have more bits of matter, you're going to collect more force.
We are the highest off the ground, so we have the highest energy, mgh. I'll just put m times g times h. H is the biggest right there, right? Now, what is the kinetic energy here? The kinetic energy is zero because I'm not moving. Right at the moment when I stop, right before I go over, I'm not moving. I have no motion.
So again, motion doesn't really tell you how much energy you have, so but whatever. Because there's energy in all kinds of different, you know, there's the energy inside the object, the, you know, E equals MC squared kind of energy. But we're really just talking about your capacity to be changed. So it's the change in your balance of the forces of being applied to you. But the forces are going to be pushing this thing. The forces are going to make it move, and the forces have to continually do that to keep it moving.
No kinetic energy, but I have a maximum potential energy. You need
all right, you really don't have any potential energy. So just understand, the circumstance has potential, but you don't have any. And you have to actually start doing, you have to do the falling and do all the stuff before you gain the energy. So you have actually no potential energy. You have no energy of any kind. Okay, in the sense that you're not moving and there's no force being applied to you personally because the force is going straight into the ground. Well, not straight in, it's going through the track into the ground. The track is feeling the tension of the weight of the cart on top of the track. That's why the track has to have all that infrastructure. It's because it basically has to take your weight, okay? The force that gravity is applying to your mass, and it has to transfer to the ground. That's what it's doing. The whole time it's sitting up there, there's a bunch of energy going through the superstructure of the roller coaster and getting fed right into the ground. So that's why I'm saying you can't really say there's no energy. It's just all the energy is going somewhere. Where when you start to fall, the energy is going inside of you. You're gaining it. You have it. It's possessed by your matter. Your mass bits are being pushed. And when they hit the ground, they'll be released to go somewhere else.
To start thinking in terms of energy. I have the maximum amount of energy. That is all the energy stored in that system at the top. And it all must come out somehow.
All right. So there's really, like I said, there's no kinetic energy formula here. There's no explanation of why there's that 1/2 mv², why momentum doesn't work, and, you know, nothing. I mean, you could just do this as a momentum equation and it works out just fine. You know, there's no need for this example to be a demonstration of kinetic energy because it's just as good as a demonstration of momentum.
As this thing goes down the roller coaster. Now, what's going to happen is this thing is going to get to this position, right? Which means the potential energy has gone down from here because I'm closer to the ground. My MGH is, because H is now lower, potential energy has gone down.
No, you don't have any potential energy. You're just collecting now. You're collecting money. The money's flying, you're collecting it. And as soon as you create more friction down here, you're going to start losing it again.
Down, but at the same time, the kinetic energy, that has increased. These are what my arrows mean. Potential energy has gone down because I'm closer to the ground, but I've picked up speed, so kinetic energy 1/2 mv² is higher. I'm gonna do the same thing here. I'm gonna get to a local maximum here and eventually,
you know. So I'm just trying to clarify. There's no potential energy. There's just your ability to collect or not collect. That's it. So you're either in the mode of where you can collect the energy or you're in a mode where something is taking your energy. But there's nothing else happening here. There's no kind of energy. There's no potential energy as a kind of energy. The potential is just in the circumstance, whether or not you are going to collect it or whether you're going to lose it. All right, so I think I'll switch to the other video because this is not really, doesn't have anything to do with making a comparison between kinetic energy and momentum. And that's the important subject, really. All right, so here's another of Jason's videos from 6 years ago. They really look quite different. It's kind of funny. Some people really do change quite a bit with time, and some of us don't change much at all. Anyway, let's play the video.
Welcome to this section of the physics tutorial where we're going to talk about something very, very important.
So I need to change something here. What was wrong? Sorry. Yeah, okay, I gotta change this volume. Probably about there will do. All right, now let's try it again.
And that is the concept of kinetic energy, and also we're gonna talk about something called the work energy theorem. And in my opinion, this is when physics really starts to get interesting, when you start talking about energy. Because you can look around the world, roller coasters and all kinds of cool things.
So he seems to have an obsession with the roller coaster example. But anyway, physics is just movement is what makes something noticeable. It's what makes things happen. Obviously, it's interaction. You can't have an interaction unless two things move to interact. So, yes, it's like the most important subject, and they have a very frankly, obviously, and, you know, kind of, I mean, there's no good excuse for how wrong this is.
You can see how energy and work really interplay with one another. So pay attention.
Pay attention. I'm going to show examples, but he's not really going to do that, right? So I can sit there and, again, I can hold these scissors. Physics says I'm not doing any work. I think I'm doing some work. I can feel it over here. I actually saw some video where, you know, people were out and they were challenging people to hang from a bar longer than them. And I would have guessed that you could hang from a bar for like a couple hours. I mean, what's the big deal, right? You just get your arms in the right position and, you know, it's just mostly about keeping your hands from letting go. But, you know, hanging your body weight on your hands doesn't seem like it would be that difficult. But 2 minutes was like, you know, the longest amount. If I had to guess how long somebody could hang from a bar, I'd just guess that it was, man, you know, I would just guess I could do a half hour without even trying. But I guess I would be guessing wrong. You know, but it is kind of funny. But anyway, yeah, so physics says it's not work. Okay, I could hang from a bar and I'm not moving, and physics would say, you're not doing any work. I mean, shouldn't right there you say, oh, come on, you need a better definition of work. You've missed something.
The stuff, it's very core material. Everybody has their definition of what the word energy means. Think about it for yourself.
Right, everybody shouldn't have their own definition. Physics should have a definition, and they should have a definition that's consistent. That is, they shouldn't have two concepts that have the same definition. Momentum and kinetic energy. There shouldn't be two different answers to the question.
You can pause the video. What do you think energy is? Most people think of energy as maybe a lightning bolt or, I don't know, somebody that's moving pretty quickly or something like that has energy, some vague notion. But when you really think about it, is energy electricity? Is energy, what is energy? Well,
Yeah. It's all that stuff. It's every single bit of force moving the speed of light. So anything, any action that takes place at the speed of light, that is anything that communicates at the speed of light, is energetic. Okay. So yeah, radio antenna is being energized. Anything being affected by a force moving the speed of light has energy. And then obviously anything being hit, a material object banging into another object, is transferring energy.
It's a tough nut to crack, really. But in physics, in classical motion, which is what we're studying here.
So again, they say the word classical. That's another way of insulting Newton. You know, so, and because they're not classical. This isn't classical physics. This isn't Descartes, Newton, and Galileo. It's exactly what they argued against, frankly. This, most especially Newton.
Energy has a very specific definition.
I mean, Descartes and Galileo didn't even hear somebody speculate to the existence of this special kinetic energy crapola. So they didn't have an opportunity to say, what are you talking about?
Definition, just like work had a very specific definition.
He says work has a specific definition, and yet it really doesn't, because you made a mess out of it. Force times distance? No. Force times time. It's the amount of time you're in a force. It's not the amount of distance you travel. Distance can be deceptive, okay, because of the very thing, friction. So once you take things into space, again, he's a NASA engineer, you gotta know, when I take things into space, they behave differently. You know, there's not the same problems making things move. I can make them move with a tiny flick of my finger amount of energy, because I never have to overcome friction. I never have to overcome the fact that friction is dampening whatever I put in, because it's absorbing the energy, some percentage of it. And in the case of earthly friction, it absorbs all of it until you get to a certain amount of energy, then you can start moving something. But I can't just, you know, I can take, there can be 10 tons. I can take 10 tons and just flick it. Now, if I was on some asteroid or some place that has very low gravity, you know, you could understand, I could sit there and I could just tap the 10 tons, and the 10 tons will take half the energy. I'll get half of it. and we'll move away from each other. There's nothing, there's no inertia in the way. The 10 tons will move. It'll move very slowly, but it'll move.
Very simply, we have this thing called kinetic energy, and I'm going to abbreviate that KE, okay? Kinetic energy. And it's a very simple equation, okay? And it's equal to 1.
So this is kind of the funny part, because he says it's a simple equation, and then he has absolutely, he'll provide no insight into why it is this equation.
We have times m, which is the mass of the object, times the velocity squared, okay? So very simply, if you have some data.
So it'd be much more simple if it was just mv, right? So mv is a lot simpler. You know, and this seems, I mean, just on its face, it looks contrived, right? The 1/2 on the mass and the squared on the velocity, that looks like a contrivance. And let's understand, for the first 200 years or so, it was just mv squared. There were no 1/2. So clearly the answers they got were 50% exaggerated. You know, so they weren't even really close to the right answers. And it didn't, they didn't notice, you know, frankly. They, you know, somehow they didn't notice that their answers were a full half off.
Baseball or something has a certain mass, okay? That's the mass here, and you throw that baseball, and it has a certain velocity.
Right, and that gives it a certain momentum, and that's all you need to know. The end. Finished. Done. Good physics has been completed. Newtonian physics has been satisfied. I don't need this extra 1/2 squaring velocity thingy. It's not going to tell me anything. Momentum doesn't already hasn't already informed me with the correct answer. I don't need the incorrect answer.
Then all you do is you take the velocity square, multiply by the mass, multiply by 1/2. You have what we call kinetic energy.
You have a number that will make no sense. You'll have an equation that tells you a 10-ton train going 5 miles an hour has half the energy of a 5-ton train going 10 miles an hour. When the fact is, they'll both do the same work. They'll both light the same number of light bulbs. If you put a generator on their wheel, they'll both do the same amount of movement of atoms in the universe. If I throw one of them out this side of my spaceship, I will turn just as much as if I throw the other one out the other side of the spaceship. Okay, they both have the same capacity. They represent the same amount of energy. And if I used it, he's a NASA engineer, he knows that if I did that experiment in space, okay, if I take the 100 grams, you know, if I take 2 grams and throw it out of one side at 1,000 miles an hour, and I take 2 kilograms and throw it out the other side at 1 mile an hour, I'm going to move just as much. Both events are going to be equal. Okay, one of them isn't 1,000 times more energy. I didn't disturb the universe with 1,000 times more energy on one side than I disturbed the universe on the other side. He knows this. He's got to know this. And yet he's preaching this crap. Sorry, it's crap.
Why does it have a 1/2 in there? I don't know. It's the
way. Okay, so he doesn't know. So lots of people tell you why. It's because when they did the force equals, I mean, work equals force times distance, that's where the 1/2 comes in. But whatever. Some mathematical crappy derivative. They multiplied both sides by 2 somewhere, and that's why they got that. Yeah, it's because, I mean, they divided both sides by 2.
Way the universe works, okay? Why is it?
That's the way the universe works. So that's kind of a cop-out answer, you know.
M times V squared, not V cubed.
Why? Why not just V plane? Okay, but we know why it's V squared. It's because they're claiming that when something is a reoccurring force in pattern, you know, only in habit, that somehow I can square it. I can use the square term to say something happens and then it happens every second. It'll happen again every second. It's repeating. So because it's repeating, I can square it. When squaring is explicitly saying you're multiplying a specific number times the same specific number. So it just, on its face, doesn't make any sense. I mean, obviously something that repeats can repeat 5 times, it can repeat 10 times, it can repeat 500 million times. Squaring isn't going to give me that answer. Squaring isn't going to tell me how many times it repeated or for how much time it repeated. So It's nonsense. It's completely bad. Whatever they call this stuff, this unit analysis stuff. It's a breaking of your entire unit functions. If you sit there and use the squared term for more than one thing, it should mean one thing, that you're squaring this number. It shouldn't mean secretly, oh no, that just means it's a continuous force. Well, you're not going to use it like that, even though that's its origin. Its origin is this meaning of the square does not mean you square the velocity. It just means that this could be a reoccurring force. So what? Yeah. That doesn't tell you anything. It's a rate. So that you don't get your answer, kinetic energy, this answer won't be as a rate, even though that's what this squared was originally telling you, was it's a rate, how often it happens, and you know how much happens per second. So it should be a per second number, and they've broken that. So Newton's original formula was a per second number. Newton said energy equals the change in your momentum over the unit of time, whatever the unit of time you want to use is. And that would give you a rate. So if the unit of time was 1 second, then your answer would be in seconds. How much pressure per second? And so, you know, you could use any unit of time you wanted to. And so you could just say the net energy, the total energy, and then you would have just your change in momentum. That's the classical definition of energy. This crap is not classical. This crap is 1840 something.
Is it m instead of m squared? I don't know the answer to these questions, but
okay, so that's, you know, that's just kind of like, what do you mean you don't know the answer? I mean, you know, he's got a degree in, you know, I think chemical engineering, electrical engineering and physics. And he can't tell me why.
You can look at objects in the world and you can calculate the energy and you'll find that it's a very accurate representation.
Okay, so it is. You'll find it's very inaccurate. You'll find it's preposterously inaccurate. It's not even close to the truth. You will find that if I make the comparison even worse and I have instead of a 10-ton train, I have a 20-ton train and a 5-ton train with, you know, the inverse velocities, and I could make it a 200-ton, and I'll get more and more preposterous imbalances, like the bullet and the gun. You know, the gun, the recoil of the gun, even though it's supposed to be an equal and opposite reaction, the recoil of the gun has 2 joules by your kinetic energy formula, and the bullet has 2,000. That's not even close to the right answer. That's so far off. So again, more physicists telling us this is the right answer. It always gets the right answer. It's the most reliable. It's blah, blah, blah. And it's crap. It's just not true. And something as simple as a lever proves it's not true. Something as simple as a syringe proves it's not true. It's not true. Fire trucks and fire hoses prove it's not true.
Is and it's represented by this equation. It's called kinetic energy because it's just like coefficient of kinetic friction. It implies the energy of motion, which will be different.
So again, the word kinetic and potential should be separate words. They shouldn't be explicitly defining anything but the character of the energy, like, you know, whether it's looks active or whether it looks passive, you know, or something like that. And they should have another word for when they're going to dissect what the actual energy is. Okay, how much energy there is. It's a big difference. A big distinction should be made. Yes, there is the difference between potential and kinetic, but that's not the question here. The question is, why do we have 2 definitions, momentum and kinetic energy? 2 concepts that are basically defining and describing the same exact thing, and they get exactly different answers in 90% of the cases. The only case where they get the same, where they're both consistent, where they're both conserved, is if you keep the mass and the velocities proportional.
From other kinds of energy that we're going to study a little bit later on, okay?
So there's no other forms of energy. There's no, you know, so what's the point of this? You know, there's just the masses moving. And if you give the force a mass, so unlike what they do to photons, if you recognize that, yeah, the photons have some mass, it's very small, but it exists. And, you know, then it's just momentum everywhere. Momentum works, and there's no reason to replace it with this crap.
So basically, you can regard this as the equation as the energy something possesses when it moves. So a safe is going to have a larger mass than a ping pong ball, right? So even though both of them move at the same velocity.
Right, but if you move them at the same velocity, you have to use a lot more energy to move the safe than the ping pong ball. So obviously the safe contains more energy because you put more energy into it. There's more stuff pushing its atomic bits than stuff pushing the atomic bits of the ping pong ball, because the ping pong ball has less atoms with bits. So there's just less total bits. The individual atoms are being pushed with an equal amount of pressure. But the fact is the amount of pressure pushing the heavier object is going to be much higher in total when you add up all the little bits to create that pressure. So it's distributed over the entire substance. So if I put energy in, I just have to figure out how much mass it has, and that's how I have to individually give a portion of the dollar bill, you know, a penny to each little atom.
The safe is going to have a higher kinetic energy than the ping pong ball will, which kind of makes sense, okay?
No, it kind of doesn't make any sense. It doesn't say anything. So obviously, you know, again, so he's just making, he won't do what they should do, is try to make a comparison between momentum and kinetic energy and explain why we need two formulas. And why the one formula, kinetic energy, has any credibility in the test, right? If I compare the two, who gets right answers? Momentum always works, can always explain. There's never a circumstance momentum can't explain. Kinetic energy fails easily. I mean, it fails with the gun, it fails with the lever, it fails with any pressurized vessel. It fails all over the place.
So, the kinetic energy has units of, and this is going to probably blow your mind, joules. Okay, which is, if you remember,
this. Okay, so I don't know, you know, I don't know why he thinks that would blow somebody's mind, but whatever.
Same exact unit that work had. Okay, so you might say, well, aren't they different? Why do they?
No, all the things should, all the energy units should be the same. So anything that has energy should have the same unit. So anything that's moving, or a concrete movement, would measure its capacity to do that in the same amount of stuff, the same amount of these things. So a joule makes sense. But so did a foot pound, and so did a newton. So you could just put it in newtons.
They have the same units, okay? You're going to find out here in just a minute that work and energy are similar, okay?
So this is the silly part, right? Because work, energy, pressure, weight, momentum are all the same thing. It's all just weight. Every interaction just has to do with two things hitting each other that weigh something because they have motion. So anytime you move something, you're just doing the same thing gravity does. You're just weighing it. You're just saying you could put a scale on everything and just say, how much does it weigh? So two cars could crash. You could put a scale in between them and you could just say, how much do they weigh? And it's going to be a lot. You know, cars going fast, it's going to weigh a lot when it hits the other car. It's going to be like, you know, you could just make a comparison. Okay, the one-ton car going 50 miles an hour, and I could just make it a 2-ton car going 25 miles an hour, and I could make a 3-ton car going whatever it would be, 15 miles an hour. I could just keep changing those numbers, and those will all be the same thing. They will be applying the same pressure per second on an object they hit.
And they have the same units. So you'll find that the work has a unit of joule, the kinetic energy has a unit of joules, and in a little bit we're going to get to potential energy, and it also has a unit of joules, okay? So there's lots of different things with the same unit.
So he's calling all these things different things, and they're not the same thing. They're just a definition of energy, and of course it should have the same unit, so.
I'm going to try to explain to you why they're different. In order to do that, let's take a little thought experiment. I'm going to do this in a different color just for kicks. Okay. So let's say you have some box right here. Okay. And let's say you push on this box with some force F, just like we had in the previous section there. Okay.
So this is just going to be gravity. He's just going to, again, do a gravity thing. It's a constant pressure, the same amount of pressure. Push, push, push. But there's no way for us to physically actually do this because we're not gravity. We can't push all the atoms the same amount. We have to push on a surface. Well, anyway.
Sometime later, the box is obviously going to move over here to the right, okay? And again, you're still applying that force, even though it's moved, you're applying that force throughout the whole thing. Now, initially, the box was at rest, so the velocity was zero, and then whenever you move it over here, it's going to eventually have some final velocity greater than zero. All this is saying is that initially the box was at rest, I push it, and then it has some velocity not equal to zero. This could be 10 meters per second or something. And also, obviously, you're moving it through some distance.
All right. So I guess originally he wouldn't give the full lectures. He didn't make them available for free and all that kind of stuff. So that's why it cuts off. So it's not very useful. But I don't think he was ever going to compare momentum to kinetic energy. So he was just going to talk more about potential and kinetic in that context. And that isn't the subject, frankly, of kinetic energy. Oh, here's a little Leibniz picture. Let's see. Why is calculus so easy? Oh, jeez. Anyway, all right. So that's probably enough. So we'll leave it there. And yeah, move on. So I did email Jason and see if we get any kind of response. So far, nothing. So, I offered to pay him whatever his fee would be for private tutoring, so to speak. That's not private. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Yeah, that sounds nice. All right. So this has been a draftphysics.com, debatephysics.com also. But there just isn't any rational back and forth on these subjects. No counter-argument to the argument I have made that's in any kind of reasonable form. So anyway, so till the next time and such.